there are a lot of questions about privacy and about you know, whether it's going to give maybe police too much of a purview to accost people who may or may not be doing anything suspicious. You know, the Washington Post did a big investigation on this this week, and we did something on our own regarding this. You know, there's new information out and new images out from police departments all over the country, and we focused a little bit on Memphis, Tennessee, where they have squad cars now equipped with license plate recognition cameras. They turn on swivels, they can scan a plate, and within seconds, you know, a display on the officer's dash screen can tell him or her if there are warrants associated with that car, if the driver's a convicted felon. It's all very effective in fighting crime, and that's a good thing. A lot of the money that came for these types of things came in grants to police departments from the Department of Homeland Security. So, you know, they're helping to beef up police departments all over the country. And the idea is that maybe, you know, they can use this to look for possible terrorists in the future. But, you know, privacy advocates, we spoke to a former FBI agent named Michael German. He's now with the ACLU. He says the problem is that it's going to empower police to intervene more deeply into people's private lives. You know, he cites examples that he's already seen where cops will come up to people for doing little more than doing things like taking notes, drawing diagrams, taking photographs on a cell phone, things that a lot of people do. And I posed the question. I said, the terrorists do those things too, right? And he said, yeah, they do, but, you know, terrorists also put shoes on. It doesn't mean that every time someone, you know, you're tracking someone who put shoes on, you should come up and accost them. So it's one of those struggles that we all deal with, and that we're constantly dealing with in this day and age after 9/11 about how much power to give to local and federal law enforcement and counterterrorism people to surveil us.
Well, it's always funny because we, you know, thinking a year ago with the Undie bomber, you know, everyone was freaking out, like, why can't we connect the dots? And then when we have technologies that do connect the dots, we go, hold on, why are they connecting the dots too much?
It is a constant struggle, Chris, and we've struggled with this since 9/11. You're right. The outcry after 9/11, where were the dots? Why weren't they connected? And it was legitimate. I mean, the intelligence agencies weren't sharing information with each other. There was kind of this this wall up there, and a lot of those walls have since been broken down. But and this is part of that. And, you know, when you layer it to law enforcement on the local level, it can be very effective. I mean, that's how a lot of potential terrorists are caught. But you do have to balance out the privacy concerns. And officials from the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security told us they do have strong programs in place to combat, you know, potential abuse, to combat privacy infringement. They train their officers on, you know, what is appropriate and not appropriate to do from a privacy standpoint. But they don't, you know, part of the what the Post did and what we looked into a little bit was, you know, they share a lot of this information on potential suspects in these so-called fusion centers that are run by state and local police in every state. That's where they share it with the Fed, with the FBI and DHS. And there's a lot of information on in these fusion centers about a lot of people who really aren't doing anything wrong, but who may have, you know, been observed taking a cell phone picture of a ferry boat someplace. And the question is, you know, is that just too much? Well, you know, they say that they don't keep unnecessary information, that they don't hold on to it. But, you know, you do wonder whether information like that is just going to be stored somewhere that all of us, you know, may find out about later.
And it all sounds, I mean, it seems a little Tom Cruise Minority Report-esque.
Yeah, I mean, part of the equation here is that in trying to layer the security net, they are relying also on average citizens to report people. I mean, they're relying more and more on neighbors and other people like that who observe behavior to report it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you could be reported for something, you know, as innocuous as taking a cell phone picture. So it's just one of those things where we seem to be going too far one way or too far the other, and I don't know if there is a middle ground to strike here, but that seems to be the struggle right now.
Feels more like a pendulum that bounces back and forth, but the other big story, and in fact I saw you on CNN this morning talking about it, food poisoning, real concerns now about the potential of terrorists poisoning food.
Yeah, imagine the salad bar at the Outback Steakhouse being a target. No one would figure it, but according to U.S. officials who we spoke to, they did pick up intelligence some months ago that people associated with a very deadly Al Qaeda group, Al Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, have considered using this tactic of spraying ricin and cyanide into buffets and salad bars in hotels and restaurants in the U.S. to either sicken or kill people. Now, U.S. officials are trying to downplay this thing, saying this was intelligence that was picked up. It was more of a discussion of a tactic than an actual plot. They're quick to say that, and they say that you've got to keep this in perspective. We get things like this all the time, and it doesn't mean that terrorists are now deployed to your local salad bar. But they did think enough of it at the time to speak to, you know, leaders of the restaurant and hotel industries, just to basically say, look, this has been out there as a possible tactic. Keep an eye out. Experts say they also probably would want to contact healthcare professionals in every major area, you know, ERs and places like that, just to watch for a spike in food poisoning, maybe at this time of the year, too, when people are going out a lot and celebrating.
And I know folks are you know, the holiday season, a lot of folks traveling. It feels like things are in heightened alert during this time of year.
Well, they always are. And the chief counterterrorism advisor to the president, John Brennan, spoke about this and said that they, you know, look, we always get an increased chatter at this time of the year. We're always keeping a more vigilant eye out. He said there's no specific incredible major threat that they've picked up recently, but that doesn't mean that it couldn't happen. I mean, we don't need to be reminded too much, Chris, of what happened almost a year ago when that young man tried to bomb that airliner traveling from Amsterdam to Detroit. There wasn't a whole lot of warning about that either. So, these are the kind of things that you do have to watch out for at this time of year.
Never predicted in my wildest dreams that I'd be saying the word undie bomber, but who knew?
That's right.